Sometimes I don't know when who's giving the announcements have finished. I knew Kevin was done then. Pastor Kevin had finished and said, "You're on." Good morning, good morning, good morning. Fall's in the air. It's a great time of year. And love the fall. It's my favorite time of year here in Colorado. And it's good to be here with you guys today. You know, there's nothing quite like just getting together with the brethren and having a good time of fellowship and studying the Word and just enjoying one another's company. Amen? I mean, it's so important to us that that we really do that. Well, as Pastor Kevin said, we're going to be in Psalm 23 still. We're taking it verse by verse as we do our studies here at Calvary Chapel. And the last time that we looked at this verse, we looked at it from what probably was the most common application. And that is to give comfort, and biblical assurance to a believer at a funeral or at a memorial service when a loved one has come to and gone through the valley of the shadow of death that leads into eternity. And it does give us comfort. It's hard to let go. It's hard to say goodbye. We're human beings, and so that is just natural. And so that is difficult, but what comfort it does bring our hearts when we think of those who we have to say goodbye to, and especially the believer, knowing that our good shepherd has gone and led them through the valley that leads to their eternal home. Amen? I mean, that is our hope here. And that's why we shouldn't get really too hung up on this horizontal life that we're living here, because our hope is to one day to be in the presence of our Lord forever and ever and ever. And it's big. I admit to you, it is really bigger than probably my little finite mind can even comprehend or begin to comprehend what that is going to be like. But that is what the hope of the believer is. And so there are other applications to this verse now, and as we look into it further. Other experiences of life, other valleys that we've had to go through, some of which may have been very dark, maybe causing fear and anxiety as we anticipated just what lies ahead or what was ahead. But no doubt, there may be even some who are going through a dark valley here this morning. I don't know. Some of you, though, may be experiencing a dark valley. And may I remind you that in these valleys, there are lessons for us to be learned. In every one of the lessons, if you are one of the Lord's sheep, well, even if you're not, and you're listening out there, and you are not one of his sheep, there's a lesson for you to learn in the valley that you are going through even right now. For believers, it's a time for us to learn and to experience and to know and to settle in our hearts the trust that we have for our Lord, our assurance and confidence that we have put in him, and the love that he has for us. For a non-believer, it's him reaching out saying, "Come, I want you to be a part of this, of my flock. I want you to know what lies ahead for you as one of my sheep." And so it's important that we understand that. Now, as we think about this and about the journey that we are on, the sheep that David had tended over as a young shepherd, and even as the king of Israel, as he was watching over the nation of Israel. You know, life is a journey. We find that out. As David was leading his sheep, they were on a journey. They were on a path. They were being led. And we are also being led on a journey that we call life. And there's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be peaks and valleys for each of us as we make our way along this journey. Mountaintop experiences are what we all really like. Those highs in life, whatever they may be in your life, but those things which have become maybe what I would like to maybe describe as a still frame. It's in your mind, it's in your memory bank, and you look back on it, and it's just one of those times of joy, one of those times that's exhilarating as you just think back of those moments that you hold dear and close to you that you can reflect back upon and just kind of smile. You know what I mean? Those mountaintop experiences. Now, with that, there are varying degrees of joy in these mountaintop experiences. It might be from just finding that one special person that you're going to spend or want to spend the rest of your life with. That's a high mountaintop experience. Maybe seeing a child born. That one is in the memory bank, isn't it? It's just we hold it very dear. Maybe it's being born again. And you remember when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you came to follow the Good Shepherd as he was leading you through life. And there are, of course, other moments that don't compare to these, but they are still significant in their own place. One of those such moments for me was earlier in my life when I had the opportunity to stand on the stage at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, California, and also at Carnegie Hall in New York City. And I was sure that these were the peaks of my life's experiences that would be the standard that I would measure every other mountaintop by. I mean, that's pretty cool to stand on the stage at the Hollywood Bowl. And in Carnegie Hall in New York City, I mean, this was a big deal. But you know what? It wasn't long after those experiences that I was faced with real life challenges that made me reevaluate those mountaintops in my life to really assess whether they were really what I thought they were. And before I knew it, I was walking off of those stages heading into what would lead me into and through a deep valley where I would have to reevaluate everything about my life. Reflecting back, I would write a song, and there was a line in the song. It said, "Music was my life and finally took everything. Ain't it funny how you got it all and not a thing?" See, there's where I was in life. And I was so self-consumed with music and the world of music and all that I thought that it brought to me. But through this valley of being separated, and the valley was really being separated from my wife and my family for 7 months. It was a very difficult and dark time in my life. I saw that I had let the drive for worldly success cause me to forget the things that I mentioned earlier that I had experienced. I had a wife, and yet we were separated now. We'd been married for 7 years, and now we were separated. I had a daughter, and my wife was pregnant with our second daughter at the time. I was wrapped up in the trivial pursuit of a career, thinking that the greatest satisfaction in life was worldly success. Now, at the time, really, I hadn't given my life to Christ yet. And so I had no idea about being wrapped in the loving arms of the Good Shepherd, taking satisfaction in him and what he would provide for me. And that was what my heart really longed for, and I didn't know it. But it was in that valley that I learned that lesson, and I saw that lesson that he would provide for me. And what my heart really longed for was not success in this world and being wrapped up in this world, but it was being wrapped up in the loving arms of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. It wasn't being wrapped up in accolades and people heaping, "Oh, how wonderful your music is, and how great it is to hear you play your songs." No, it was wrapped up really in being humbled in the sight of the Lord and allowing him to be the Lord of my life. And later I would find, as David would write in Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Jot that down. Jot that verse down. Psalm 37, verse 4. Where he says, now we're leading up to some of the experiences that we're going to be going through. I just shared one, but it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord. Take pleasure in him. Take joy in him. Let your heart be consumed with him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Sometimes we don't even know what those desires are, do we? I didn't. But when we delight ourselves in the Lord, the promise is He will give you. He shall give you the desires of your heart. And so it was there in that valley that the Good Shepherd was teaching me to trust Him. And though He was leading me into uncharted territory, and believe me, I was still trying to figure out the way, but I was still fighting Him at this time, you know. When it comes to trust Him in that valley, I thought I knew the way, but it's tough. But He was teaching me to trust Him. And though He was leading me into uncharted territory in my life, I would soon learn, as the psalm this morning so clearly said, and David wrote, "You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is the fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Make sure you're taking notes on that, because these are promises that are so special. And so these are anchors. These are anchors in our life that are written to us in the living Word of God. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's read this psalm quickly as we go on. Only 6 short verses. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, just minister to our hearts, Lord, as we just look at the different application now, maybe to our lives right now, Lord, because as I said, maybe some are going through a valley right now. It's dark. Don't know the way. It's uncharted territory. But Lord, as we keep our eyes fixed upon You, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me," will. If that's part of life's journey right now that we're going through, that's going to lead us further along the path so expressed here, Lord, the path of life, then I pray, Lord, that we would trust You with all of our heart, leaning not unto our own understanding, but keeping our eyes focused upon You, trusting You because You know the way. Lord, may we just take and hold on to that deep in our heart. You know the way. And we've chosen to follow You. And so have Your way with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Following closely where the Good Shepherd is leading is the only place that we really learn the essence of what David wrote here. When we get into Psalm verse 4 of Psalm 23, where he said, "I will fear no evil, for You are with me." I will fear no evil. It's okay. I know it's okay because You are with me. You see, it's then whatever valleys we may go through in life, and I know that they'll be different for each one. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same as what I described for me about me a few minutes ago. That was a deep valley for me. There are others that I could have listed, but that one really comes to mind because it came right at that time when it was just before and right during the time that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and as the Good Shepherd of my life. So it stands out in my life. But whatever those valleys may be that we might have to go through in life, we can go through them with confidence and we can go through them with peace that passes all understanding as long as we know and are confident in our own hearts that Jesus is with us, that He is leading the way, that he knows where he is going. Now, the conclusion that I came to in going through that valley was I had to let go. I had to let go basically of everything that I knew in life, of how to provide for my family, of how to take care of myself, of how to make a living, and everything. I had to let go of it. I was coming to that place in my life where it was a challenge. It was a challenge in my life at that time. And I was so intent on holding on to these things, but I found out that the only way that I would ever see the view from what would be the highest mountain peak in my life was allowing him to lead. You know what? That's what Lord means. When we call Jesus Lord, that's what it means, that we are following him, that he is the Lord of our life. We want him to be our Savior. We are thankful that he is our Savior. And in salvation, that's how we look at him. But he must also be the Lord of our lives. And we must have our hands in surrender to him, that wherever he is leading, we follow. We follow. We allow him to lead. For me, I would have never known the blessings that the Lord was about to show me. I would never have really ever known the depth of the relationship that I would have with my wife of 50 years. I would have never known that. We'd only been married for 7. It looked like we weren't going to make it to 8. I would have never known the grandchildren that I have, 12 and one on the way. I would have never known the joy of the fellowship of believers and being an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ to be here with you. I would have never known that joy had I not let him lead me through the dark valley. Are you experiencing a dark valley in your life today? Is there something that's troubling you today that's a very difficult time in your life? Is the journey wearing you out? Do you feel as though you can't go on, or you just don't want to go on, and you can't get through or go through whatever else is ahead of you? Yes, you can. That's the word of the Lord this morning to you. You can. If you're born again, then trust him. If you're not born again, I'll look here and I'll look there, then you're on your own. And Proverbs says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. It's a dead end. And so we follow after Jesus. The prophet Isaiah writes, and the Lord speaks through him, in Isaiah 26:3, and he says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Isaiah 26:3, I don't think it's up here, but jot that verse down. That is such an important verse for us as we're following, as we're allowing the Lord, the Good Shepherd, to lead us today. You, prophet says, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I know that what might often seem like a dark valley in life is when out of nowhere plans change, and they change abruptly. Circumstances of life change. Nothing is for sure. Well, there's one thing for sure, isn't it? That we as believers know where we're headed, huh? We do know that. Okay, all right, just want to make sure. The plans change in life, circumstances change in life. But even in these, I want you to know there's a plan. There's a plan. Wherever you are in the stage of your life right now, whatever you may be going through, if you had your heart and your mind set on going this way and all of a sudden you're going this way, and the Lord is leading you in your life, there is a plan. There's a plan, and he has a way that he has stopped you from going this way and kind of guided you to go the other way. Now, we can struggle with it. We can fight it. We can say, throw up our hands and wonder what is going on. Whether it's a circumstance of life that seems to be just out of control, or choices maybe that we have made that have brought us to this place and have gotten us off the path. You see, there can be a couple of things. There can be circumstances that do change. Things that are just really out of our control. They just happened, but they happened for a reason. There was a plan, and we're going another direction now. Or maybe there are choices that we've made, choices that have not been healthy choices, choices that have not been good in our life, but we've decided, you know, at one point in time that this was good for me, and now all of a sudden we're finding out that maybe they weren't as good for us as we thought that they might be. And the Lord, as the Good Shepherd, is leading us in another direction now. And like I said, we can fight it or we can yield to the leading of the Good Shepherd, knowing that He will see us through. But we must surrender our will to His, even as the Lord did on one of the darkest moments of His earthly life when He said to His Heavenly Father, "Not my will, but Your will be done." He said, if there's any other way, what was happening at that point in the garden there, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Any other way for salvation for you and me? There wasn't. And so during that dark time, and if you don't think that was a dark time, go back and read. I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke. It says that even in the garden, Jesus was sweating great drops of blood, as it were. That was a dark valley. There would be a moment where He would be separated. Never had He ever been separated from the Father. But there would be a time when He would be separated from the Father. He was going through a dark valley. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But then He tagged it, nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. And that has to be really what is implanted in our own hearts. I don't know where this is leading, Lord. I don't know where You're leading me right now. But nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. So is the Lord asking you to trust Him in some area of your life today? Something today? In some way? Is He wanting to take the lead in some area of your life right now? Or take control of something that has been controlling your life where He wants to control it? Asking you to let go of something and to release it into His hands so it doesn't distract you, so as you would lose your footing of faith on your way home. For every believer, the Good Shepherd is forever watching over you. The Good Shepherd. Remember the contrast in John chapter 10 where Jesus contrasted the Good Shepherd with the hireling who cared nothing except for about himself. But the Good Shepherd is watching over His sheep. The Good Shepherd is watching over you. He's watching over me. He's watching over us as we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Every one of us is important to Him. No one is more important than any of the other sheep. He's watching over us, even when the way that He's leading seems to be extremely challenging. Seems to be difficult for us to wrap our hearts and our head around. And it's at those times that we need to let the Lord have complete control. Because He knows what He's doing. And He's watching over you. He's caring for you. And so it's here the confidence that we have in the Lord, our Good Shepherd, will cause us to be reassured. Even as David said, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, this brings us back to something that we talked about earlier in this psalm, and that is practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of the Lord. Keeping Him ever before us. Remembering something that Jesus said to us. I mean, David said, I'm going to go back to David once again in the psalm that we read this morning. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be moved. That's a powerful verse. I've set the Lord always before me. I think the problem is sometimes, you know, we lag so far behind we can't see Him up there. We need to keep Him. I love it when we go on tours, you know, the people go over to Israel, and the people always want to get, everybody wants to get up close to the guide. I mean, they want to be right there with Him. That's a good thing, because those that lag behind, they don't hear half of what He's saying. They don't hear, you know, half of the message that's going on. But we need to do that. We need to keep the Lord. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I won't be moved. Everything's okay. Though this is uncharted territory for me, though I'm going, I don't know where I'm going, but you do, Lord. Can you say that? He knows where He's going. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28:20, and He's on His way back to heaven. He's about to ascend into heaven, and He says something interesting to His disciples. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's pretty cool too, isn't it? He's with us now. That's what, I mean, we can read that. He is with us now. Lo, I am with you, not sometimes, not just in those moments in the valleys, but when you get up on those mountaintops, I'm with you there too. I love to see those valley, those mountaintop experiences that you're experiencing. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The prophet Isaiah, even though he was given visions of prophecies concerning the difficult days that lay ahead for Israel and Judah, the Lord gave this word of encouragement to him in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, to share with the people that are about to go through a dark time in their life. And he said, when you pass through the waters, now you turn there, Isaiah 43, 2. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you. We have to remember that. Wherever we go in this life. You know, I'm reminded of after Jesus had risen from the dead and Mary wanted to reach out and cling to Him. And you remember, she stopped Him. He allowed Thomas to stick his hands in the nail prints and all. But He stopped Mary. And he said, don't hold on to me. What was He saying? He was saying, you know, you had one experience with me while I was here, with you in my earthly tent. But now I am going to ascend to the Father and you're going to have a new experience. I haven't left you. Even when Jesus said, I am going to send the Holy Spirit, then He said right after that, He said, I will be with you. He said, I'm going to send you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And He said, I will be with you. And so that's what He was telling Mary at this particular time. You're going to have a whole new experience with me now. It's going to be different than when I was walking upon the earth with you. It's going to be different. And that's the experience that we have today with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and with the Good Shepherd. We have that same experience that Jesus was encouraging Mary to grab onto at that particular point in time. Because even though we can't see him, he's there. He's there. And so through Isaiah, he says again, "Fear not, for I am with you." How many times in the scripture do we read those two words, "fear not" or "do not fear"? I think I just looked it up, and I think it's somewhere between 50 and 70 times in the scripture it says, "do not fear." Fear not. Why is it repeated so much? I guess we have a tendency to be scared little lambs, don't we? We have a tendency in this life. But I hope they're real to us this morning when we're going through the storms of life. Through the valleys, through the experiences that bring distress to our hearts. Here's a couple more verses. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Turn there. Children of Israel were about to come into the land of promise. And there were going to be incredible challenges for them as they came into the land of promise. And so the word that is given to Moses, to the people, was be strong. Verse 31, or verse 6 of chapter 31. Be strong and of good courage. And do not fear, nor be afraid of them, the people who possess the land. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. Man, these are promises. Hold that promise. He will not leave us, nor forsake us. Isaiah 41:10, when again the prophet was about to, you know, tell of the judgment that was coming upon and Judah at this time. Fear not, tell the people, fear not, for I am with you. Oh, it's going to be tough. But as long as our eyes are upon the Lord, he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Jesus would challenge us in Luke chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. When we're told as we're going through this life, this journey, when we're on the path, when we're being led, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We'll probably think more of it in Matthew chapter 6. In the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, and we follow. But it's first. That's first. That's the first thing that we need to always remember. Seek first the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We're on our way. We're on our way. Fear not, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen? All right. So David wrote from his heart, from the experiences he had in life with the one that he called his shepherd, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And so he would learn from experience, even as we learn, the ever-abiding presence of his Lord. And this is how he could write with such confidence, which we so humbly embrace this morning. When we're experiencing the valleys in our walk of faith, it doesn't mean they're not going to be scary. It doesn't mean they're not going to be scary. But as we're following him, he will give us the strength in our inner man. He'll give us the strength in our inner man to believe and to trust in him, because he is greater than any shadow of doubt that may be cast our way by the enemy. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Jesus is always there, whether we're aware of it or not. Still, so often we wear ourselves out with worry. We wear ourselves out with fear, frustration, and doubt, when all hope seems lost. The last time that that happened to you, maybe not this time, but the last time, how'd you do? Did you get through it? Yeah, you did, didn't you? And if you're going through a valley right now, remember it's, yea, though I walk through the valley. It's not a place where we stop, not a place where we hang out. I want to get out of there as quickly as possible. When I'm having one of those challenges of life, I want to get it over with. But he's there to comfort us and to encourage us and to calm the storm. You know, I was overwhelmed with emotions many times in going through the previously mentioned trial and valley that I spoke to you about. But he was there when I had no strength, when I had no inner strength to go on. He was there. Even as the prophet Isaiah once again, Isaiah 40:11 writes, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You see, he's there to hold us. He's there to carry us. He's there to make sure that we get through even when we don't have the strength to get through. He will hold us. Oh, I love that picture. You know, I know we're not supposed to have pictures, you know, of Jesus and this and that and the other. But, you know, the one where the shepherd is carrying the sheep over his shoulders. I just love that. I love that because it reminds me so much that, you know, when I am without strength, he's going to carry me. He's going to carry me. And we're all going to be faced with trials and tribulation. We're all going to be faced with the valleys that we go through in this life, and they will cause fear, and sometimes it'll be loneliness. We're like the only ones. We feel like we're the only ones that have ever experienced this, the only ones that are ever going through this, and I'm all alone. It feels like everyone has abandoned me. It feels like the Lord has abandoned me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Loneliness. That can be a real serious situation and problem. It can lead to depression, where we just get so down. We just can't see anything good happening in life. We can't envision anything good coming out of the situation, the problem we're in, and we get so discouraged. And how many times have we even... I mean, listen... The Lord is there. We need to be there when we see a brother or a sister ourselves that's going through some situation like that, that may be a situation that they just can't see the hope, they can't see the joy, they can't see the purpose for going on. And just put your arm around them. If you're close to them, put your arm around them. Encourage them. Let them know that not only do you love them, but the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd loves them as well. Sometimes it'll seem as though there's no way out through these difficult places in the valleys that we're in. And sometimes we'll think that we're at the end of the line. Some will seem to go through more than others. I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on why it just seems like some people go through more than others. A marriage that's just constantly... you know, upside down, and there's always bickering, there's always fighting, there's always tension in the home. I don't know why I do know why. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy. Not me. Come unto him. Come unto Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But you know, it just seems like it's something that goes on. Kids that want to rebel. We teach them. We teach all of our kids the same way as we train up our kids in the ways in which they should go. We train them all up in the same way, and yet some just decide they're going to wander off. And that's when we have to cling to the proverb that says, if we train up our children in the ways in which they will go, when they are old, they won't depart from what they have learned, what we have taught them. And we have to hold on to that, and that's a hard one sometimes to hold on to. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's just poor health that just continually lingers. It's chronic. It's a situation and it's a valley. And this valley can also lead to, you know, just being so discouraged. One thing after another. It's almost to the point sometimes we wonder how much will one person have to go through And yet we're reminded of the promise in the Bible that God will not allow us to go through more than we are able, but with the trial, he will give a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Still, it's not a matter of how, whether or not we'll have deep valleys in our lives, but I really believe it's how we get through them. In John chapter 16, you know, verse 33, we're told that, yes, we will have valleys, we'll have trials, we'll have tribulation in this life. But how do we get through them? And so David writes, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the rod was an instrument of authority. It was an instrument of authority and power. It was used for the protection of the sheep. If there was a wild animal, a predator of some kind that was lurking in the out around the flock, you know, it could be used. The shepherd could use that rod, to get it away. It could be thrown if the sheep was in danger, such as if they were kind of sniffing around looking to eat some kind of, maybe there was a poisonous plant or something, you know, that was going to be just detrimental to their health, you know, or maybe just one wandering from the flock, he could fling that thing and it would like maybe scare them to come back to the flock. In a way, the rod is like the Word of God in our lives today, which God uses to convict our hearts from wandering. Maybe we've gotten preoccupied with something, not a circumstance of life that's out of our control, but maybe choices. Choices that we have made that have got us into a fix in our life. Maybe we've been messing around with something that's even very dangerous, causing danger to us. Maybe it's flirting on the job. Something we need to be very careful about today. The gambling. And drinking, you know, with gambling being free in this state, you know, you can do it. And in Nevada, you can do it, you know. But I'll tell you what, nothing breaks my heart more than to see people walking around. We were in Cripple Creek, this was years ago, but seeing people walking around with these brown bags that were empty because they were hoping to hit the jackpot. And they had no business even being there because they didn't have the money. You know they didn't have the money to begin with. And it breaks my heart. The gambling, the drinking, or maybe even using the internet in an inappropriate way. Choices that we have made that are dangerous to us in our walk of faith. Some have let these things or other things like them just get a hold on their lives and they've become overwhelmed. They've become overwhelmed with guilt and with frustration. Oh, they hate what they're doing, and yet they go right back and they just do it again. They don't want to displease the Lord, but they go right back and they do it again. And it's here that the word becomes a tender conviction that is so powerful in our heart. Problem is, lots of times when people are going through these things, the word is the last thing that they go to. Remember, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man. This is the living word, and when you open up the word, it's given for reproof, it's given for instruction in righteousness, and it's given for correction, and it's what we should use. But so often, you know, when people get themselves in these fixes, the word is the last thing they go to, and it's the first thing that they should go to. They should get on their knees, go to the Lord, and the Lord, believe me, will point you in the word. It's powerful, it's firm, and to those who will hear it with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, what a release of victory when we obey the Lord in humility. The rod was also used to count the sheep. As they passed by, the shepherd would do a little probing around as they would just pass by. And he would look to see if there were any wounds or things maybe caught in the wool that could, that could hurt the sheep. Now, wool in Scripture often speaks of the old life and the old lifestyle. And so in this situation, there would be no pulling the wool over the shepherd's eyes. Even Even with us, we know that today all things are naked before the one with whom we have to do. So in this respect, the word searches our hearts and penetrates our hearts. David would write in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wickedness in me, but lead me in the way everlasting." When God searches, notice that he searches the heart. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart, the seat of my emotions and the things that move me on an up and down scale. Search me, O God. But it's always the heart. And we have to allow, as David did, to give the Lord permission. He said, "Search me." Can you do that today? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. And see if there's anything in my life that would be pulling me away from you, walking with you. Lead me in the way everlasting." You see, David didn't want stuff hanging on the sheep, and he didn't want stuff hanging on his own life. And so he gave the Lord permission. He wanted it dealt with. "Lord, whatever's keeping me from a place that pleases you, deal with it. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the staff was a long instrument with a crook on one end and had like a little hook on it. And it was used only by the shepherd for the care and personal management of the sheep. It was a symbol of concern. It was a symbol of comfort. It was a symbol of reassurance for the sheep. And in a way, the Holy Spirit in our life today can be seen in this regard. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you into all truth." And so it's important. The Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us and convicts us and corrects us. He leads us in the way in which we should go. He illuminates the living Word of God so that we can easily understand it. Jesus said, at one point in time, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you abide in my word. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How his word applies to our hearts frees us up. Frees us up. He opens our heart to receive it, to understand it, the Holy Spirit does, so we can rely and we can trust upon him as our journey continues. You know, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What a powerful, powerful thought to have had, to have written that. He trusted his Lord with all of his heart. He had lots of time, I'm sure, out there on the fields, you know, as he was tending after his own sheep. But again, I believe that this psalm was written later on in his life when he recognized that he was now the sheep. He wasn't tending after the sheep, but he was one of the sheep of the good shepherd, his Lord God's hand. And even as he loved his sheep, he knows that his shepherd loves him. You know, this whole psalm really is about that. It's about the shepherd's love for his sheep. He loves you. The shepherd loves you. The good shepherd loves you. He's tending after a flock. He's watching us, watching over us. He knows our hearts. He knows our concerns. He knows how difficult the way is through the valleys of life that we experience. Yes, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I pray that as we, you know, just think about this verse, just meditate upon this verse, because again, I don't know, maybe there's something that is just weighing you down right now, but you'll get through it. Because you're walking through the valley. You're not spending any more time there than you need to, right? You're walking through the valley as the Good Shepherd leads, and you're going to get through whatever it may be. I don't know. Maybe you're having a mountaintop experience, but you know what? Do you ever notice when you get up on those mountains, there isn't too much that grows up there? There's a lot of beautiful, beautiful views that you can see, you know? But you got to come back down and go through the valley where it's green. And that's where things grow. And so it's through those valleys that we grow in our walk and our relationship with the Lord as well. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for the heart of your servant David, Lord. He was able, God, because of his intimate relationship with you. He was able to write psalms such as Psalm 23 that really impact our hearts and our lives so much. Father, I pray that even today, we would kind of just in our own hearts and our own lives and wherever we are. And if someone, Lord, here today or is listening to us on the internet, they're going through some really challenging time in their life today. Know that you are with them. You're going to get them through it. And there will be a lesson and they will learn that lesson of trust and love and assurance and confidence and hope. But Lord, I pray today that we would want to be those that just get up in the front line and stay close to you through your word, through just following you and staying close to you and hearing every word tenderly, that still small voice that you have. And Lord, may we have confidence in this life, Lord, that there is hope for us, not only in this life, but for the life to come. God, I pray that everyone listening today, Lord, who is a sheep of your hand, I pray, Lord, that they would reassess. Maybe there's things in their life, Lord, that they need to reassess right now that have got them into a place that they don't want to be, that they don't know how to let go. And that, God, that it would be by coming to you, the author and the finisher of their faith, Lord, and allowing you, God, just laying it at your feet and allowing you to take it and get rid of it for them. And then fill them, Lord. Replace it, God, with your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, we know that ultimately, Lord, should, Lord, we not be raptured, this journey is going to come, Lord, to a place where we will have to go through the valley of the shadow of death ourselves. And so, Father, I pray for every believer here and every believer listening that we, as we continue this journey, Lord, that we would continue it with confidence and hope. But Lord, if there are non-believers here in this sanctuary today, Lord, or those who are listening on the internet today, Lord, I pray, God, today that they would think about the direction that they are going in life. And I pray that their eyes and their heart would be open to see you who is standing there, Jesus, right before them, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And it would cause them to surrender their heart and their life to you even now. I pray, Lord, if there are any in our midst today who have never come to that place in their life where they have opened their heart to allow you to be the Lord of their life as well as their good shepherd leading them, that God, that today would be the day that they would change the direction that they are going and then they would decide to follow after you. Now, Lord, the thing that has kept them away is sin, and so that has to be dealt with in our life. And we know that it was dealt with at the cross when you were nailed to that cross and your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so it's to confess that we are sinners and that we need a Savior and to open our heart to receive you today. If there's any in our midst today who have never come to that place of decision, oh, you're just walking along and just doing fine, but do you know where you're going? If you don't know Jesus Christ, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways are the ways of death. That's not the way you want to go. You want to follow him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it comes by surrendering your life to him. by confessing before him today that you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and you call upon his name for the forgiveness of your sin. Is there anyone in our congregation, anyone in our midst today who would say, Richie, I need for you to pray for me today. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to go another step. I don't want to go another day. I don't want to take another breath without knowing Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I open my heart to receive him today. Is that you? Who is that? Is there someone in our midst today? Just raise your hand where you're seated today if you want me to pray for you. Just lift your hand, just wherever you are. Well, if you're a struggling sheep today, fighting the Lord, wanting to go your own way, then we're going to pray for you too. So we're going to kind of combine a prayer here that's going to go out over the internet. And maybe some who wanted to receive Christ today, they're going to pray to receive him. But then we're going to pray for any of you today who maybe are struggling in the midst of a valley and need to just let the Lord be the Lord of your life. Father in heaven, we come before you today. And Lord, though there were none in our congregation today who said yes, I need to have Jesus. I need Jesus. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Maybe, Lord, out there on the internet, someone was listening today. And they know they've been struggling. They know they've been struggling in life. And they know that they've been leading their own life, their own way. And every time they turn around, they're running into a brick wall someplace. It's not good. And maybe they've said in their heart today, I want to follow him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so I ask for forgiveness of sins, my personal sins. And I believe and pray that you would wash me clean by your blood, Jesus, that was shed at Calvary 2,000 years ago for the forgiveness of sin. I open my heart to receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for waiting for me to make this decision in my life. Jesus, lead me. And Father, for any of those in our congregation today, Lord, who are struggling with something, they're in a dark valley, they're in an uncharted territory in their life, they just don't know what's going on, so many ups and downs and things that are fluctuating and things that they just don't have, they don't know how they got there, but they know it's not a good place. And they need to let go. And I pray, Lord, for them today. I pray, God, that they would let go and let you truly, Lord, be the Lord of their life as well as their Savior. So, Lord, we bless you and we thank you for this time that we've had together, Lord. God, watch over us as we walk along the path of life, Lord. Just watch over us with your tender care, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Wednesday night, in the epistle, I think it's 2 John. 2 John. Come and have a meal with us. Two meals. You know what? Two for the price of one. You can have a meal to fill up your little belly, and you can have a meal to fill up your spirit and your soul. Can't beat that deal, can you? Wednesday night. God bless you.